Welcome to the shitposter.world anime review podcast. I am Dad, your host. With me is Cool Boy Mew.
Hey, hey.
And Full Metal.
What's up?
We're going to be covering more of Spring 2023, even though it's Spring 2024 in real life right now. But Mew's updating his website, making it more presentable. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm trying at least. I'll try to make something more pretty a bit later. It's just I don't feel like I have time for this lately. Maybe in a couple of months. Weibo might help me a bit, actually.
Okay. Well, all three of us have stuff IRL that's interfering with the podcast, but we're doing our best. We're still watching cartoons.
Yeah, the problem is that all of the what you see is what you get. Easy web makers, they don't exist anymore. They stopped being updated in the late 2000s.
Oh, even WordPress?
Well, WordPress is garbage. Don't use WordPress.
I'm not going to use it. I'm just giving it as an example.
No, but WordPress is exactly the kind of example of cancer that it got replaced with. So instead of having a program where you can make HTML easily, and then you have like some kind of preview pane that you can like modify, WordPress is a whole CMS. I don't remember what CMS means, but the CMS are kind of fucking cancer because they're software behind the website instead of just making, you know, static HTML. And the software behind the website is constantly and fucking has constantly fucking vulnerabilities. Some people that work with WordPress will say, oh, that's not true. But the point of WordPress is that you can just go fucking download themes, and then you can download plugins. However, if you download an old plugin, if you download an old theme, you have to check all of this shit, because all of this crap can have vulnerabilities, which will be used against your server.
Right. I used to have a website, and this was a decade ago, and I had WordPress on it, and like sometimes it would tell me that I need to update themes and plugins. Sometimes it wouldn't, and it's a good thing I never became popular, because then someone might have been tempted to try to fuck with my website.
Oh, it's even worse nowadays, because nowadays all of this shit is dropped by bots. So you can have bots dropping a web page called wordman.php in your fucking image folder. And then if you click on it, you see it's some kind of like web shell to attempt to do commands on your server. Or maybe they can drop some sort of website to attempt to steal, to fish a credit card and stuff like this. Yes, I've actually seen this happen in a professional WordPress server. Really fucking pissed. So this is why you don't use WordPress. This is a fucking problem. I just want to make a simple static web page, but all the web makers are gone. So now I have to use some fucking crap like VS Code with like web plugin instead of, you know, just something that's made for the public. I have to just use a serious coding program instead. And it's just like,
why? A lot of extra work.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Instead of having it easy to make like simple website, you either have to use fucking WordPress with all of these problems, or you have to go into the serious code shit. And not happy with the status quo. This is why small personal website have fucking died, because there's nothing to support it. The thing that I'm using right now, SimonKey Composer, is utterly fucking broken. All of the feature doesn't work. I can't even control F to find something. This is stupid.
Anyway, let's get to your list. We got some cool stuff from spring of last year.
Yes, spring season 2023.
Damn it, the first link you have is broken.
Really?
Yeah, for Mouse Over Jigoku Raku. It's showing you the Misfit of Demon King Academy.
I must not have replaced it properly, but whatever. Let's just fucking start. So yeah. Jigoku Raku. I didn't know what to say about it. So another MAPPA show, so expect good animation and fights at the very least. And I don't know what else to say. I don't know what to say about this.
I like this. I watched the whole thing and I sought out the manga afterwards, but this needs to be animated. The big emphasis is on the visuals and the fights, and it just looks better in anime form. So I didn't read very far.
Yeah, yeah. One thing disappointing, however, is that they have like lots of interesting characters, and they quickly killed off a lot of them.
Yeah, it's quite brutal. I like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Not any of the season material, but it wasn't bad. So next is the Mashal. So heavily borrows from Harry Potter, but the protagonist cannot do magic. Right, should we do the synopsis? Can you do the synopsis for Jigoku Raku? A bit late, but...
The Edo period is nearing its end. Gabimaru, a shinobi formerly known as the strongest in Iwagakure, who is now a death row convict, is told that he will be acquitted and set free if he can bring back the Elixir of Life from an island that is rumored to be the Buddhist Pure Land, Sukhavati. In hopes of reuniting with his beloved wife, Gabimaru heads to the island along with the executioner Yamada Saimon Sagiri. Upon arriving there, they encounter other death row convicts in search of the Elixir of Life, as well as a host of unknown creatures, eerie man-made statues, and hermits who rule the island. Can Gabimaru find the Elixir of Life on this mysterious island and make it back home alive?
Pretty decent synopsis.
Yeah.
And,
and the way they have to fight these crazy supernatural monsters and this desperate flailing around trying to survive this nightmare island felt kind of like Gantz or other ultra-violent survival stories. But yeah, Hell's Paradise or Jigoku Raku, it's good, but I'm going to wait for another season.
Hopefully it'll come.
Yeah, Fullmetal, you got anything?
I never finished it. I only watched like the first couple episodes. It was unfortunately one of the few I had to drop. But it looked nice. I liked the premise. I just didn't have time for it.
Yeah, it happens. I understand.
All right, so next is Marshall. Can you also read that synopsis?
This is a world of magic. This is a world in which magic is casually used by everyone. In a deep, dark forest in this world of magic, there is a boy who is single-mindedly working out. His name is Mash Bernadette, and he has a secret. He can't use magic. All he wanted was to live a quiet life with his family, but people suddenly start trying to kill him one day, and he somehow finds himself enrolled in magic school. There, he sets his sights on becoming a divine visionary, the elite of the elite. Will his ripped muscles work against the best and brightest of the wizarding world? The curtain rises on this off-kilter magical fantasy in which the power of being jacked crushes any spell.
Yes, yeah, so the show is technically one long repetitive joke that appears in many, many forms, yet it somehow remains entertaining. We've got two seasons of this so far, and it's still great. It's still hype. It's a nice... it quickly becomes a battle shonen, and I think it does it nice enough.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was better when it leaned more into the comedy. It got a little too much into the battle shonen, and it's fine, but it isn't like that great as a battle shonen.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's not in middle season material. But I really like season 2. And now I really gotta complain about fucking Crunchyroll again.
Okay. Always welcome on this podcast.
Alright, so the fucking Crunchyroll subs about Marshall, I have to complain about them. So there's this obviously fruity Okama stereotype character called Margaret Macaron. Did anyone watch season two?
I have not.
Yeah. You did for
I've watched half of it. I watched half of it. I didn't watch all of it.
Okay, so I think the character appears in season one, but I did not notice that.
I think he's at like the tail end. He's like in the last couple episodes, I think.
Yeah, the issue is that someone really decided that from Crunchyroll that the character is non-binary, despite this not being a thing in the Japanese side. I actually fucking checked in the manga. In the manga, there's a Q&A by the mangaka. Someone asked if Margaret is... what does Margaret identify, if he's really a boy or a girl? Because when he does his power thing, he transforms into a girl. So whatever. Like characters like this has existed forever. The mangaka's response is Margaret does identify like as... It's either both a girl and a boy, or like neither, or something like that. However, in the fucking Western translation, they literally added non-binary, which is not in the Japanese manga.
Oh, and that's pretty gay.
Yeah,
that is pretty.
Yeah, they do that.
That is pretty annoying. So now that means that these kind of characters have existed in like anime for fucking forever.
Yeah,
so
you, now, might as wrong, well, you might so as well not, call Naruto a non-binary troon because he has sexy no jutsu.
This
character looks like a plain old homo.
And what's annoying is that everything has to be up to the international standard now. So that means that, obviously they're non-binary. So obviously they have to use they, them. And I was really pissed at some point because Mash actually fights Margaret. And then you have characters that kind of like barely know Margaret. They're not in their inner friends group or whatever. And they just automatically use the they pronouns. And it's kind of annoying because... who the fuck is it referring to? So you have to stop and be like, there's something like not normal going on in the subs, and it annoys me. It annoys me because, you know, it could be referring to two characters now. So either it's both of them, or it's that character, and it's not fucking normal.
It's singular stupid. They.
Don't do that.
More yes, like singular they. Gay.
Yeah, I love how they'll like harp on about like the gender identity of these characters, especially these characters that are like absolute shitheads. Like the guy's a murderer and arguably like a fascist or a racist because he's like a mage supremacist. So it's exactly. Like, are you really this guy? This is the guy you're going to get mad about people not identifying properly? Fuck off.
Yeah, so I hate this shit. Look, I don't even hate these characters, but I got actually fucking pissed during this.
Yeah,
I don't like this.
One Piece is full of Okama characters, and some of them even save the hero's life.
Yeah, I mean, they even try to do this shit, like... I know you didn't watch Dragon Ball Super Mew, but... like
I did watch Super...
Oh, you did watch Super? Oh, yeah, that's right. You did watch Super. But, like, you know, Kale and Caulifla, the two Saiyans from Universe 6. Yeah, in, like, the dub and shit, and I think probably the sub translation, too. They try to imply that they're, like, a couple, like, lesbians or whatever, but that's not the case.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Friends. Yeah, they're more like sisters.
At one point in the dub, she calls her, like, you're my one and only. And it's like, that's not a thing. In the original, they don't have any implied like romantic partnership.
But yeah,
so they pull this shit constantly.
I'm pretty annoyed about that. And I was so annoyed. I actually checked the information about it, and I actually checked the fucking manga in Japanese. Like I downloaded both. I have the pictures. Like, I have the actual proof, and someone made a translation of it. The non-binary stuff was not in the Japanese release.
Never trust a localizer. Anyway, Mashal itself is decent. Just watch out for which version of the subs you get.
I wonder if B Global doesn't do this, because if there's B Global subs available for this, because I actually even check the French version, but of course it's also Crunchyroll, and I think it might be a translation of a translation. Either that, or the higher ups decided so. And it had to be the same thing in all languages. I say B Global because this season there's Black Butler, which is actually returning. And at this time, Ciel has to investigate a school. And in this time at school, in the UK, there was a tradition that is actually called fagging. That is the real world word. And fagging is basically you have an underclassman serve an upperclassman. So, yes, the characters, the underclassmen refers to themselves as fags. For real.
Yes, and I've been familiar with this because I read a lot of old literature and shit. And yes, I've seen this term before, and it's always hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny. But the official manga translation actually used the correct time appropriate word. However, Crunchyroll went with Drudges. But if you take the B Global subs, it actually uses the proper term. B Global is basically English Asia subs.
Another reason to hate localizers, man. Just these fan subs are usually the way to go. Whenever all possible. Right. But so, should we continue the list?
Yeah, we should continue the list. Can you next is that Tengoku Daimakyo. Can you read the synopsis?
All right. In the year 2024, the world has collapsed. Grotesque monsters lurk amongst the ruins of Japan, while remaining people scrape together what they can to survive. Kiruko, an odd job girl in Nakano, accepts a mysterious woman's dying wish to take a boy named Maru to a place called Heaven.
It's not polite to call them monsters. Call them Somalians.
Also known as Heavenly Delusion. I have legitimately no idea what the fuck to say about this.
Oh, this was a strange one. Like, half of it takes place after the apocalypse, where these survivals of this weird child scientific research facility are trying to survive. And half of it is flashbacks to when they were growing up in that facility. And there's some weird mad scientist shit going on. Some of it's spoilers, but I enjoyed this overall.
Yeah, this was good. It was not anime of the season like some people claim it was, but I have no idea what to say about this other than it's good. I have no idea what to say.
So AnyList is comparing it to Promised Neverland, accurate, and Made in Abyss. Why? Because bad things happen to kids?
Probably.
I don't know. Shinsekai Yori, Shoujo Sumatsu Ryoko, Summertime Render, etc.
And Kino's Journey, which I still need to watch based on Full Metal's recommend.
And the current... and Shumatsu Train Dokoeiku, which is from this season. I think they're not terrible recommendation, but this is just such a weird oddball show that I'm not sure what else you could put on. You have to put on other oddball show. What can I
do? Yeah, like hell, I might compare it to Fallout with the exploring ancient ruins full of monsters. But it's good. Watch it.
All right, so next there's Kono Tsubayashi Sekai ni Bakuen wo, also known as Konosuba, an explosion in this wonderful world. No synopsis needed. This is the
Megumin prequel, right?
Yeah, basically. It starts at school, and then at some point, Megumin goes on an adventure. It's before she meets Kazuma and everyone else.
I've not seen this, because I'm not obsessed with Explosion Girl like the rest of the internet seems to be.
Yeah, I wrote, unfortunately, making a whole show or Ellen out of a single character who's usually the butt of gags, unsurprisingly, didn't end up being amazing. It's more Konosuba without everything else that made Konosuba such a banger. Like basically, Kazuma is really an important character, I think, in Konosuba.
Yeah, you need a straight man in this cast full of wacky losers.
Basically. So it's rather lukewarm, but you'll watch it anyways because it's Mega Man. So basically, it was okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, the only reason to watch it is if you're a Megumin simp. And I like Megumin, but I'm not, like, a massive simp for her like a lot of guys are, so I kind of got bored with this after a few episodes. I'm like, yeah, it's just whatever.
It's okay.
Yeah, next.
Next is Skip to Loafer, or Skip and Loafer. This country girl is ready for the big city. Well, at least she thought she was. Mitsumi's dream to attend a prestigious school and make the world a better place. But when she finally gets to Tokyo, it turns out she isn't exactly prepared for city life. Luckily, she runs into Shima, a sweet and handsome classmate who's become her first friend. Can she make it in Tokyo with Shima by her side? So basically, it's a cute slice of life and a sprinkling of romance starting, where the plain and hick main character ends up being the life of the class. Cute. Yeah, this was pretty good, I think.
I have not seen this. There's some tags that I don't approve of.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I saw the first episode, and there was like the trainee aunt, uncle, whatever, and I was like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that shit in my escapist fiction that's supposed to be happy and uplifting.
So next it is, then. So next is a big one. It's Boku no Kokoro no Yabai Yatsu.
Wow, he's literally me.
I would hope not.
read this synopsis, Brad. Right.
Fascinated by murder and all things macabre, Kyotaro daydreams of acting out his twisted fantasies on his unsuspecting classmates, but an encounter with Anna Yamada, the gorgeous class idol, lights a spark in the darkness of his heart. It's a classic tale of an antisocial boy falling for a popular girl, but neither are who they appear to be at first glance. Will Kyotaro and Anna defy their expectations of each other and of themselves?
So, also known as The Dangers in My Heart. This was fantastic. Actually, I think I could put it in like anime of the season. I could replace, and it could maybe replace number 3 when we'll get there. But this was pretty darn fantastic. What did you think that?
Oh, this kid's insecurities are eating him alive. He is Chunibyo as fuck, and I love it.
those two dorks are just absolutely perfect for each other.
Yeah, I love that they actually made a character like a more realistic Chunibyo without it just being like a dumb joke.
Yeah,
yeah, he
doesn't. Like he really is just like,
he doesn't pretend to have magic powers or anything. He's just a lonely, pretentious weirdo.
He's an edgelord. He's the kind of person that like was above average in intelligence for his school, so he thought he was the smartest person alive.
Yeah, he's a believable edgelord.
Yeah.
He's a relatable, he's a realistic, even in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a small handful of moments where it's like, oof, yeah, no, I probably did something similar when I was like 14.
Yeah, they even do the meme where the girl orders food for her boyfriend because he's too nervous to talk to the cashier.
Oh, yeah. I like so that he does make progress over the course of the show.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing about this show, the progress. You know, we've talked about some romance anime that are like a one-trick pony or anything. This is right. Far from being a one-trick pony. There is nothing repetitive, and it feels like more or less almost every episode seems to just actually count towards something. There's actually progress being made, right. And you can see it fast.
Yeah, it's got really good pacing when it comes to that, because it's not too fast, but it's not too slow. You can see things building up slowly, and the characters behave in a way that's believable. Because it isn't just like how you have a lot of these romance stories that are just like, it's just obviously the creator's like waifu and self-insert protagonist. It's like, eh.
It says the creators.
But this isn't that case.
Yeah, it's the Mitsudomoe author. You know, the one with the three lilies and their super fat dad that keeps getting arrested by the police.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I don't know this one. What's it called?
Mitsudomoe. You watched one episode, I think. Like years ago. Let me link you. Like,
what the hell is this?
I'm pretty sure you saw one episode of this, or you probably saw the opening.
I don't think I have. This is dodgy.
But yeah, it's the same order.
Okay.
Well, she knows how to draw teenage awkwardness for sure.
Anyways, so this is fantastic, not to be missed.
Yeah, it's good to see a romance that has story progression. It doesn't do 100+ episodes of maintaining the status quo. At first, I wondered why this gorgeous girl bothers talking to her loser classmate at all, but their friendship and romance, it becomes more believable. It builds upon itself episode after episode. And eventually she's making excuses to spend time with him. And he's too much of a spurg to realize she likes him. Literally me. But I enjoyed this overall, and I'm going to watch the second season, which finished recently.
Yes, season two is really great. I think it especially starts with a bang. I think it falters a little bit on the three quarters. But it
starts
also
with a bang. Yeah, you might want to pick a different word there.
you know what I mean.
Well, there are scenes where he gets unwanted boners and has to exit the situation.
Yeah, not that kind of thing.
They managed to do that in a way that's funny and not like perverted. Like it's like, yeah, no, I remember being 14. Oh, I remember that shit.
So believable.
Yeah.
And when she finally comes to his house once and he sees his trash can is empty and he says, thank goodness.
Thank God. I fucking clean that shit.
But this is not filthy. This is not etchy. It's just a realistic and believable and heartwarming look at these two 14-year-old kids who are coming to love each other. And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's really nice. It was really a surprise. I wasn't expecting to like this that much. I was like, this is probably going to be whatever. But no, it really, like, fucking, it was a real home run. It's like, god damn, this is fantastic. If you're a fan of romance or coming of age stories, this is top tier.
God damn it. I think Moon forgot to put the anti-hell thread thing because Nico just decided to tag me in a fucking hell thread with like 200 other people.
But just anyways, mute that thread. Anyway, cool. we're talking about animes.
Anyways, anything else to say?
Nope.
All right, so moving on to Kimi wa Okago Insomnia, also known as
Insomniacs After School.
Genta Nakami is a high school student who suffers from insomnia. One day he meets Isaki Magari, a girl with the same condition. A strange but special relationship forms as they share a secret and catch up under sleep and their school's abandoned observatory. Man, the beginning of that show, when they were trying to sleep in the observatory, was really fucking chill. It eventually evolved that they kind of get forced into reviving the astrology? The astronomy.
Astrology is the mystical shit.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't sure. But yeah, it's a cute slice of life from Encho. And they end up having to revive the astrology club. Anyways.
I have not seen this.
I don't have much to say about this, but it was a cute slice of life.
Yeah, it's recommending Call of the Night on AnyList, which is something I did enjoy, but
it
had supernatural elements, and I don't think this one does.
No, it recommend Call of the Night because of the beginning. I say that was chill. There's a lot of like nightscape while they while they're being insomniac. It ends up with photo autism.
Not my preferred field, but for those who care about photography, this is the anime for you. I got nothing else. Let's continue.
So next, there's Dead Mount Dead Play. As a legendary hero nears victory against a necromancer known as the Corpse God, things take an unexpected turn with the Dark Sorcerer's final gambit, reincarnation magic. The last-ditch effort catches the brave fighter off guard, and now he's a boy named Polka Shinoyama and a whole new world. The showdown between good and evil just got epic. So I'm gonna spoil the first surprise. It's not the hero that got reincarnated. It's the evil god. The supposedly evil god, because he's not actually evil. So this is actually a reverse isekai.
I've not seen this, but last episode of this podcast, I talked about a manga by the same author, Stealth Symphony.
Yeah, I remember.
And this is on my planning to watch list, so I should pick it up.
So I wrote that reverse isekai gets actually pretty complex quickly as you end up following more than several different groups and characters, all with their own motivation. It sounds complicated, but so far it never really get that messy and hard to follow. So this is what's interesting about it, is that you get to see the point of view of multiple characters as these kind of supernatural events keeps happening. You see the there's Polka's group, there's the police, there's some villain, there's some other group. It gets pretty crazy. There's a lot of characters, but despite that, it never really gets confusing. So that was a great watch.
Full Metal, have you seen this?
I saw a few episodes of it.
Oh, you think it's any good?
I thought it was decent, but it didn't really grip me. I don't know.
Unfortunately, we get like a part two, but there's no more announced, so it's maybe one of those shows that just leaves you with blue balls.
Yeah, unfortunate. That's pretty common.
You gotta read the manga, probably. I'm surprised this is not a light novel, because that is a lot of fucking character for manga. But anyways.
Yeah. Pressing forward.
All right, so we have a legendary one. So it's Kaminaki Sekai no Kamisama Katsudo, also known as Kamikatsu Working for God and a Godless World. Can you read the synopsis, Dad?
As heir to a cult leader, Yukito centers his life around the mysterious goddess Mitama, but everything changes after he's killed during a ritual gone wrong. To his surprise, Yukito is reborn into a world with no concept of God, and in this world, life and death are decided by the imperial state. As Yukito fights to protect his new village, someone from his past life lends a helping hand.
Alright, so it's one of the best disasters I've seen. A new director came and used the budget in a very interesting manner. In one episode, you have the animation shitting itself, but in another, you'll get some quality background gags during a long talky exposition. It helped that the whole thing was comedic and seemingly shitposted. It was a sight to behold. So yeah, honestly, this was kind of great. I've never seen budget used like this. Usually, a show just kind of, at least an average show, just kind of looks average. It never really shits itself. It has the budget has, and that's about it. And that some episode completely shits itself, and then the budget is saved for actually episode where like action happens. I've never seen that. But most people that actually watch it kind of enjoyed it despite the problems. I wonder if they fixed any of this shit during the Blu-ray. Well, for the Blu-ray. So did anyone watch this until the end?
I've not seen this at all, sorry.
Full Metal?
And I only watched like one or two episodes of it. I just wanted to see the terrible CGI monster that people kept memeing
CGI
about.
CGI monster. I don't know what the fuck was up with that.
Low budget, that's what was up with that.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how much of this is the main character having to babysit this annoying brat?
I don't know, a bunch? Because the god is actually that retarded? She's a fucking retard, actually. It's the humor of the show. The god is actually completely retarded.
Oh, well, Spy X Family is also about babysitting a brat, and she ended up being my favorite character. So maybe I'll like this.
I might actually go see the movie of that Thursday, but I haven't even finished season 2. It probably doesn't matter.
Probably not. Honestly, the show is largely episodic.
Yeah.
But anyways, next we have Osama Ranking, Yukino Takarabako, also known as the Treasure Chest of Courage. The synopsis is actually really right about this. Get ready for a new collection of stories from Ranking of Kings. This is what it is. It's a collection of stories.
Yeah, it's just random shit with these characters, and it barely has anything to do with season 1. It was very disappointing.
Yeah. I think you can safely skip this.
No, unfortunately not. Okay,
oh,
so
there's a couple bits of plot relevance. But
I wrote disappointing. You get baited thinking it's a sequel. It starts as such. It kinda is, but a lot of it is backstory and side stories and some further explanation. Explanation were actually pretty good. It ends with an absolute bang, however. So you probably can't skip it, because how it ends, I think, is the last episode is especially the sequel hook. Because it has to do with the three brothers with the underground kingdom or whatever.
Yeah, I guess you can't skip it. Maybe the middle episodes, but they should not have put this out when there's only 10 episodes, and most of those episodes are just irrelevant side stories or flashbacks to the past. But, and yeah, this is disappointing because the first season was so freaking good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whenever more becomes animated, I will still definitely watch it.
Oh, sure. I think, is there a movie announced? Let me check. Yes, there's a movie announced.
Yep. No idea when it's coming out. It's just been announced. And the manga is still ongoing. Oh, it says it's on hiatus. I have not caught up with it because I'd prefer to see this animated because it has a really good art visual style.
It's not looking good for the future of the anime, man. All right, so next there's Yusha Gashinda, also known as The Legendary Rose Dead. In a world of monster and magic, Sion, the local hero, is on his way to save the world from demons. Well, that was the plan until he fell into a pit dug by a sleazy villager, Toka, and died. After hiding the accident, Toka goes to bed as usual, but wakes up feeling different. Somehow he's in Shion's body. Now the fate of the world is in his hand. What could go wrong? So basically, the sleazy villager Toka has zero fucking magic, and he has to attempt to save the world, as forced by the hero's necromancer's companion. So yeah, it's hilarious, but unfortunately low budget and ends early despite the manga being finished, leaving you wanting more. Despite the budget, it was quite great. Like Mekyu Black Company, a bunch of others, the gem heir is the asshole protagonist that uses head and meager powers to actually trick opponents.
Yeah, I watched about 5 episodes of this before losing interest. It just wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be, and while there is some action, it's really basic. The animation is kind of cheap and perfunctory.
Yeah. Yeah, it's especially disappointing that they're just adapting a finished manga and just do one season, that's it.
Yeah, there's a similar story that takes itself more seriously from the previous season. The Unwanted Undead Adventurer. That one I watched to completion and enjoyed. So I would recommend that one instead.
Alright, so next there's a dropped one, so I'll just fucking... I won't talk about the synopsis. It's Megami no Cafe Terrace. Some dude ends up inheriting some dorm and a cafe terrace. And there was about like 5 girls living there. And it's just so generic. The waifus are generic. The events are generic. There was nothing to it. It was just completely generic.
Yeah, not enough time in life to watch this generic crap. Let's keep going.
All right, so next, there's an unfortunate disappointment. Mao Shoujo Magical Destroyers. I was hyped for this. It seemed to be fucking great. So, freedom of expression is threatened when a mysterious group, the SCC, destroyed Japan's otaku culture. However, a young revolutionary otaku hero who loves the culture more than anything rises up. With the help of 3 rambunctious magical girls, Anarchy, Blue, and Pink, they'll team up to create a world free of of this oppressive rule, be part of the rebellion to bring back fandom. So it starts extremely promising, seems like a big passion project, but being as weird as it is, it does the mistake of suddenly attempting to have a plot at the end, which was absolutely shit and completely sank it.
You kind of see this with a lot of anime originals. They kind of don't really know what direction to go with the story, and they end up really going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Or they end up attempting a plot that doesn't work, and is not as fun as kind of like the random shit they did in the beginning. So it should simply not have attempted a plot. It should just have been like otaku heroes and the magical girls, everyday bullshit like they did in the first half of the show. And it just would have been fantastic. Yeah, just that would have been great.
If you want to see a crazy parody of magical girl stuff, there's an impressive one from last season. Gushing.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So I watched a few episodes of this. It was this really fast-paced, lol, so random anime like FLCL, and it was okay. I didn't finish it, though. But if you like this kind of frantic, anarchic bullshit, then I could see someone really enjoying this.
No, I just loved it at the beginning. It was like, oh shit, that can be great. It's just that it just had to try to have a plot. And in my opinion, that rarely fucking worked. There's just Akiba Maid War that actually got somewhat plotish at the end. But even that, it wasn't that much of a plot. It ended with an absolute fucking banger, in my opinion. But
I still need to watch that.
It rarely goes right with these kind of super random anime original. God, I'm still frustrated about that. I was so fucking hyped for this.
Yeah, just watch Pop Team Epic again if you want crazy randomness.
But anyways, let's move on. So Eden Zero second season yet to finish it. The first big arc was pretty hype, but then I just simply wasn't feeling the beginning of the next arc, but I just kind of stopped watching there and didn't give it any chance, so I don't know. Let's move on.
Yeah, I've not seen this or Fairy Tail or anything else by the creator. I've seen a bit of Rave Master.
And this is disappointing.
It wasn't very good.
This is disappointing because I was pretty hyped for this. Like the fights were great. All the characters actually fought compared to like in One Piece where, there's the jobbers group where I'm pretty annoyed about that. But yeah, I just simply wasn't feeling where it was going. And I just need to give it a chance. But I think there's just no point if it's just not going to continue. Also, if I recall correctly, the mangaka wasn't sure if he wanted to finish this one or end it early because he was doing another manga at the same time, which was more interesting about. It seems like it's still releasing, so I don't know. But yeah, I probably won't finish it unless like a season 3 is announced.
I haven't watched any of Eden Zero, but I have seen a fair bit of Fairy Tail, and it's dog shit. Don't ever watch Fairy Tail. It's fucking terrible.
All right, so next there's Watashi no Yuri wa Oshigoto desu, also known as Yuri is My Job. Worried about her reputation, Imi covers shift for a cafe manager she accidentally injures to maintain her picture-perfect princess image. But this cafe has a peculiar theme, private school. To put on her best barista schoolgirl act, she'll be trained by the most graceful girl there, Mitsuki. Under her guidance, Ime's feelings start to brew, but there's just one problem. Mitsuki can't stand her. Ime's feelings start to brew is kind of a weird way to see it, because that's not what happened in this arc, but whatever.
So it's not gay?
That's not where the Yuri actually happens. So basically what I wrote is actually as Yuri elements, by the way, and the cafe they end up LARPing as a classic Yuri school story. A bit like Strawberry Panic. hence the title of the show. Obviously, some relationship issues, non-Yuri, and then Yuri ends up affecting their work at the cafe. So, without spoiling too much, because I think it's revealed early, the girl she's mentoring, the girl that's mentoring her, they actually know each other, but the main character forgot, but the other character didn't. And then after that, the other arc, there's something actually Yuri going on with the other characters, but whatever.
So the title's kind of a fake out. I see you gave this 5 stars anyway.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Oh.
It doesn't show. I know sometimes I can't explain it probably, but I remember really liking it. I remember kind of getting into the both of the drama arc. So yeah, I kind of like this. Next is Edomai Elf, also known as Otaku Elf. Takemimi Shrine as an unusual resident. Elda, an ancient elf who's obsessed with video games. The shrine's teenage attendant, Koito Kogane, keeps this reclusive otaku well supplied with energy drink and junk food. Even though she loves 100% her games, Elda has duties to attend to, and Kogane is bound and determined to make this otaku well fulfill them. It'll just take an offering or two to bribe. We mean convince Elda to put down her new game. So yeah, it's not particularly written. It would have been clearer in the fucking synopsis, but Elda is kind of taken like a shrine god.
Oh, this looked kind of crappy. I didn't bother watching it.
Elda is actually an elf that's been reversed isekai. And it's called Edomai because I believe she came in the Edo period, because she referred to the warlord Ieyasu as Ieyasu-kun. So she knew him personally. So yeah, Elda is a few
her character
hundreds
says,
thousand years old.
Yeah, she's 621.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, this is a chill slice of life, but it also a still a chill slice of life about like an elf who's an otaku, but it also has some chill historic fact about ancient Japan and how they did the things. Like, let's say there was something about how Japan used closed off caves with blocks of ice and them as a fridge.
Oh, to keep food cold?
Yeah, they did that in the summer. They just put that in a cave higher up where it's colder. And during the winter, they actually cut off like ice blocks that will keep working during in the summer, because the caves up there were cool.
Sorry, man. There's just no way this can compete with the best elf anime of all freaking time.
I know, but this was a chill. This is the kind of show that I watch at like 1 a.m. on Friday before going to bed, and this was just such a chill experience, man.
Well, we're gonna get the fat ass elf anime next season, so we'll see how that one compares.
All right. So next we get Rakudo no Onatachi, also known as Rakudo's Bad Girl. Rakudo's miserable days of being picked on have taken a major turn with a new ability that's made him the target of every delinquent girl's affection. The source, a mysterious scroll from his late grandfather. An unusual inheritance, to say the least. Now he's in a romantic panic full of non-stop madness with every bad girl he comes in contact with. Will he ever catch a break? This is the superior... delinquent anime compared to fucking Tokyo Revengers.
Yeah, I watched some of this. It was pretty fun. The premise is a unique one where our protagonist has a magic tattoo that makes all these criminal bitches at his high school immediately fall in love with him and are willing to kill and die for him. But yes, the comedy is one note, and it does the same thing every episode.
Yeah, but what I liked about this is that Rokudo actually manages to have a fucking spine, and you know, he actually manages to have a backbone, and he gets into the action.
Yeah, when the male bullies attack him, he stands up for himself.
Unfortunately, it's a short-lived adaptation, despite the manga being finished, leaving you a bit unsatisfied.
Yeah, it's possible the manga evolves and does more interesting story arcs, but I haven't read it.
I don't know. I thought the anime, was pretty satisfying. You cut it a bit too early, I think.
Possibly. I think I watched 5 episodes.
Yeah, I think the later off is a bit more exciting. But anyways, let's move on to Kawaii Sugi Crisis. Invading alien Lisa Luna wants nothing more than to destroy planet Earth. After she gets in a little sightseeing first, but her travels soon take her into a cat cafe where the furry felines inside invade her heart just as surely as Lisa invaded her. Destroying the world won't be so easy now that she's discovered the joys of Kitty Cat, also known as Too Cute Crisis. So basically, you got this group of aliens that they investigate planets and they decide if the planets get destroyed or not. And then this investigator finds out that this planet actually has the cutest animals in all of the freaking galaxy. And she gets to know cats, and she just gets crazy about the cats. It's just so cute. So it's a really weird anime, a tad low budget, but adequate for the kind of show it is. It will seem repetitive at first. I mean, where could this possibly even go? But it manages to be good until the end somehow. It's a show that is actually really fucking good at what it does.
I wonder if this is JapGov propaganda to get people to adopt pets.
Maybe.
Which is not a bad thing. I'm just curious.
So it ends up with the alien actually saving a cat and adopting it and learning to live with it, and then meeting other pet owner, and then eventually it evolves into going to the zoo, learning more about animals. But this doesn't seem like Mosh. You might just drop it very early, but if you give it a chance, it's actually fucking fantastic for what it is.
I have cats IRL. I don't need the cartoon version, I'm afraid. Unlike women, I like the real cats better. So let's continue.
All right, moving on to Birdie Wing, Golf Girl Story Season 2. So I was hype as shit for this, but god damn it, they did it again. They pulled the... what was that boxing anime that we all watched?
Megalobox.
Yes, they pulled a Megalobox app. Yes. So basically, I think this is supposed to be a multimedia project, but the multimedia project may have failed. I'm not sure in what capacity, because I know there is a game for this that actually released for Switch, and the game is fucking all finished and unplayable.
Oh. When you said multimedia, I was thinking, did they try to advertise on real-life golf courses or something?
No, I mean by multimedia project is that usually when that happens is that they have more plans for it. Like, for this, they had a video game. They might have, like, I don't know, but I think this might have been a multimedia project. Because, I mean, this is... a random new original anime by Bandai Namco Pictures. So I just assume it's a multimedia project. But yeah, I just don't know what the fuck happened, because I think they will have a third season planned, because how the end of the second season was going, they will have needed a third season to properly end it. However, it starts like around half or like three quarter of the season two, it starts speeding, and like, fuck, is it gonna do that? Yes, it's gonna do that. It ends with a Megalobox season one fucking final showdown that's a clip show, and that's fucking disappointing. God damn it.
Golf is a pretty boring sport, so I'm glad they're livening it up with cute anime chicks, but yeah, from what you said, I don't want to bother watching more of this. I've watched one episode of the first season and thought, nah, not for me.
It was fantastic until it wasn't. So yeah, unfortunately, because of how it ends, I can't fucking recommend this. However, this current season, there's another golf anime called Oi Tombo, and it's pretty good so far. So, but anyways, moving on to the marginal service. After being fired from his detective job, Brian receives a strange letter. He heads to the address written in the envelope and finds himself among the marginal service. This motley crew of fearless men and women, and that's cruel, are tasked with hunting down aliens. And Brian just became the newest member. So basically, it starts with a banger as a police story, like on episode one. But then he quickly joined this goofy secret organization that capture unruly aliens, yokai, etc., and all sorts of creatures. And it stays relatively goofy, but like never all that great. It's okay. It is fine.
Never seen it. You've seen this Full Metal?
Nope.
Mudball recommended it to me, but I don't know. This was just fine.
Yeah, I remember you talked about it like way back when, and I just wasn't enticed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on.
So moving on to the Idol Master Cinderella Girl U-150-49. I still have to see the last three episodes of this, actually. So the U-149 and the title refers to the aspiring idols at the center of it all. These small girls are ready to make it big. All under 149 centimeters tall, this group of aspiring pop idols dream of performing for thousands of people. But with zero experience, they've got a lot of work to do. Not to mention, there's a distractingly cute prince in town. With the help of their rookie producer, who's just a short, he's a fucking manlet. Can they stay focused and make it to the top? So basically, the elementary school idols get the producer assigned because a manlet. Also, he's a new father, so that's why they just assign him to that unit. Each episode focuses on a specific idol, with older idol appearing in some episode. Pretty decent. So it's Idol Master. From what I've seen of Idol Master, there's always 3,000 fucking characters, but it doesn't really matter because all of it is extremely fluffy. And this one specifically, each idol get like one specific episode to them, and that's about it. So if you like idol fluffy shit, this is perfect.
I don't. And sorry, man. I know you love this idol shit, and you get all excited talking about the over 9,000 different series about these, but I'm just patiently waiting for you to finish so we can talk more about the animes that are full of, you know, decapitations and explosions and naked chicks.
Yeah, you won't like the you won't like the next anime then, Tokyo Mew Mew New Second Season. It the last part of the Tokyo Mew Mew remake. I've never really watched the original, so I have nothing to compare it to. It was pretty decent. That's about it. So now up to anime of the season.
All right, we got World Die Star.
Yeah, number three, I'm giving it to World Die Star, but we could actually give it to Danger of My Heart too. So, all right, so theater has taken the entire world by storm in the 20th century, and teenager Kokona Otori aims to take the big stage. Performers who shine the brightest are called Die Stars. And as for Kokona, her first step into stardom is auditioning for the prominent theater troupe, Sirius. As she cultivates her unique sense for the stage, a story of passion and aspiration unfold in this super theater age. Yeah, it made me think a bit of Shoujo Kageki review Starlight. The synopsis doesn't tell you, but they kind of all they have some sort of superpower, some sort of theater superpower.
Oh, that spices things up.
So it starts relatively mundane, despite the premise. But as it goes, it starts getting extremely interesting as the main character progresses and increasingly gets into her role. And you actually do feel that sudden change in the voice actress acting too. This happens around the Aladdin play arc. So you see kind of the characters absolutely get into the role. And then you get all these sudden dramatic effect. And the voice actresses do a fucking amazing job at actually getting you into it. So it's one that you actually have to give it a bit of time, because it starts really kind of mundane, but I'd say that it starts really shining around the middle of it.
All right, I'll add this to my planning to watch list. Looks like it's more interesting than the usual idol stuff.
It is.
All right. You got anything to say, Full Metal?
Probably didn't see it.
Nope.
Were you also politely waiting for another genre to pop up?
I literally have nothing to say about the show. Didn't watch it. Don't care about this sort of shit. I'm just letting you do his thing.
So here's one you can actually say something about. So number two, Dr. Stone New World.
Yeah, I like Dr. Stone a lot.
Yeah.
The whole New World arc was fucking hype. This is just part one, and it gets into enemy of the season. There was part two later in the year, and it was even more fucking hype.
Yeah, Dr. Stone, I feel like season two was probably the lowest point. It wasn't terrible, it just wasn't that great, and season three really picked up. I was a little apprehensive getting into season three. I was like, it wasn't as good as season one. So I was like, I'm probably not going to watch this. But then I ended up watching it, and I was like, oh, fuck, dude, it's so good. We're so back.
And as I've mentioned before, I really like the ending of the manga, which will probably be animated soon.
Oh, yeah, it's announced.
So yeah, anything Dr. else? Stone Science Future, fourth and final season.
Yeah, I suppose there's not much we can say about it without spoiling it, but it's really hype.
Very good. It's got a unique premise. It's got lovable characters. Kohaku is best girl.
It gets better as it goes on, too, so you really gotta watch it already.
Yeah. All right, so... Love the way the protagonist pulls inventions out of his ass. And they just immediately work the first time without the need for experimenting.
He's just a 1,000 IQ genius. He just works that way.
Well, even for someone with a perfect memory, it would take months or years of experimentations to get this shit working. But that wouldn't be as interesting to watch. So he just does everything right the first time, and it's great.
All right, so I have to say that this is a pretty good, this is a decent season, but like I feel like the anime of the season, there wasn't all that. I mean, I feel like most of them were pretty set in stone, so it was like a so-so season. So I had to give my number one to Oshinoko because the first movie-length episode was really fucking impressive. It was really fucking great. And honestly, I kind of was hype all the way through.
Yeah, like I've said before, I think the first episode is freaking incredible. I loved it. It got me so hyped to watch the rest of it. And the rest of it is good, but merely good.
Yeah, can you read the synopsis before we go on?
Okay. When a pregnant young starlet appears in Goro Amamiya's countryside medical clinic, the doctor takes it upon himself to safely and secretly deliver Ai Hoshino's child so she can make a scandal-free return to the stage. But no good deed goes unpunished, and on the eve of her delivery, he finds himself slain at the hands of Ai's deluded stalker, and subsequently reborn as Ai's child, Aquamarine Hoshino. The glitz and glamour of showbiz hide the dark underbelly of the entertainment industry, threatening to dull the shine of his favorite star. Can he help his new mother rise to the top of the charts? And what will he do when unthinkable disaster strikes?
So I wrote a Gar movie-length premiere that can actually stand on its own and start as an absolute banger to the series. Ends up being a critic of the Japanese idol and entertainment industry, while the protagonists investigate and he go from like he go from various things in the industry, from like TV producing to reality television.
Yeah, but it all has the greater purpose because our protagonist is trying to find out who his father is and more info about his.
No, don't say it.
Okay. But it's fascinating. I liked it all the way through. It just cannot live up to the utterly amazing first episode.
Yeah, the first episode was really that great. So that's why we have to put a warning. It kind of changes a bit. It kind of gets a bit of a mystery thing, but that's not what it is quite either. So you get like the main character who goes on from like from to a lot like of different entertainment thing from movies to movie production to reality TV as he tries to investigate people.
Yeah, it's really good overall, and I'm going to watch the second season, which is supposed to be airing starting in July.
This summer, nice.
Yep,
So it's
manga's
next
still
season.
ongoing. But this is a pretty good choice for number one of the season. It is quite good.
So you agree, nice. How about you, Fomel? You were about to say something, and I cut you,
Yeah,
sorry.
we interrupted you to do a synopsis, but please go ahead.
Okay, so I liked Oshinoko, but I really feel like it was overhyped. I'm in the minority. I didn't think the first episode was like mind blowing. It was good, but it didn't like I didn't get as hyped. I was definitely interested to see more, and then when it took a different direction, I wasn't as interested, but it was still entertaining, so I finished it. I don't think it's as good as a lot of people are saying.
You will give your number one to Dr. Stone, right?
I'd probably give my number one of the season to Danger
Dangerous.
in My Heart.
Yeah.
A
Yeah.
good one too. Good one too. I don't disagree with that either.
Yeah, pretty decent season overall.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
had some bangers, had a fair bit of letdowns too, though. So overall, decent.
It was okay. I think finally maybe like a smaller season, the one I've been wanting for a while, but still ended up watching too much.
Yeah.
Right. I think this is the season where I decided, because I glanced through like what I watched and I'm seeing a lot of drops. I was like, oh yeah, I think this is the season where I just decided to be a lot more selective in what I actually bother finishing. If something isn't hooking me in the first couple episodes, I'm just not going to bother watching anymore. I just don't have the time for it all.
Yeah, same here. There's too many good or great things I want to watch to make room for the decent. But if someone listening to this does get obsessed with a particular series that's merely decent, I'm not going to hate them.
No, I think I've clumsily talked about this. It's not because a series is kind of average that it cannot be your, it cannot become your favorite, or it's not because a series is average that you cannot have a good time with it either. There's this thing that I keep talking about, that people just try to go for the best, and what is collectively tough to be the best is not always the best for you. And sometimes there's plenty of good shit to be found, and some less good stuff. I don't know. This sounds ridiculous to say it like this, but yeah.
Yeah, we're not.
No, I know exactly what you mean.
We're not big elitists here. If something mediocre ends up becoming your favorite, that's okay.
Yeah, like I don't really have like a great example in anime for that, but I know exactly what you mean, because one of my favorite PS2 games is Steambot Chronicles, which is not something that most people would consider a great game. It's very janky and the story's kind of dumb, but I love it personally.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
I've mentioned it a couple of times, but 1 week I became really sick. And I just took like a DVDs of some anime I bought for fucking nothing on Right Stuff back then. It's Nanaka 617, where you have this 17-year-old girl that's super serious and almost like lifeless. And she gets into some kind of accident where she knocks her head. And she turns mentally back into a 6-year-old. This is very average, but man, did I enjoy my time when I was sick with it. So I ended up like watching it all in like 2 days.
This girl mentally becomes 6 years old. You're not doing anything to fight rumors that you are secretly JF Gariepi.
I am not. Don't compare me to this dude who probably killed his girlfriend. No, allegedly.
How many people even know who we're talking about?
Well, we are on the Fediverse, which is full of turbo nerds. So I'd say maybe 10-15% of our listeners will get that retarded joke. Anyway, speaking of PS2 games, there's one called Chaos Legion that I really fell in love with, even though it's just mediocre. So it's this Capcom action hack and slash game, but it's different enough from the Devil May Cry games to be worth noting, because your character not only fights with a sword, he summons monsters to fight with him. So you're using the 4 faced buttons to do the jump around and do slash attacks, and using the shoulder buttons to command your summoned monsters. It's kind of like a precursor to Astral Chain, which would come out like 15 years later. Ultimately, not that great, but something really clicked with me.
You played Astral Chain?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. I don't really have much else to say about it, but yeah, Astral Chain is good, and this plays like a beta version of it from decades past.
Nice.
All right. Good list, Mew. I'm glad you're updating your website.
Yeah, I'm just kind of busy lately, but all right. So, and what, in 2 weeks we should be doing the current season preview?
Okay, and when did you want to talk about more of Dangers in My Heart? I have not watched the second season yet.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward because the second season was winter. So we won't be talking about it for a while.
Okay. I'll watch it whenever I feel like it then.
Sure, that sounds good. So yeah, in 2 weeks we should be doing the preview for the current season, and then 2 weeks after that we could be doing the the summer season 2023.
All right, we'll figure it out. We'll half-ass it and improvise like we usually do.
Probably.
All right, Full Metal, you got anything to discuss before we wrap this up?
No, not really.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Please come to the Fediverse, shitposter.world. It's the best website in the world.
See you later.
Good night.
Bye.